There's so many ways that you can show other people that you are grateful, that you are thankful for them. I know some people sometimes they just say thank you. Other times they will send you a thank you card. And usually we do that around this time of the year because everything is commercialized. And you know, we have the thank you cards so you can buy them and send them to people just to show them how much you appreciate them. Gifts. That's another way that you can show somebody that you're grateful for them. Now, gifts giving is one of those five love languages. Dr. Gary Chapman said that sometimes giving gifts, that's how you show the other person you love them. But, you know, usually I mean, around Christmas time, people tend to exchange gifts. So one of the five love languages, giving gifts. Because you show people, I appreciate you, so I'm giving you a gift. All the time, people cannot afford gifts, but they will bake goods and pies. You can always thank me with a pie. And so, I mean, goods. So many things that you can utilize today to show the people that you are grateful. And again, you know, we try to instill that in our to our kids, because kids, we talked about this morning, sometimes they come with a selfish attitude in their lives, and they don't know how to say thank you. And they receive a gift, and they're just like in shock. And parents tend to say to the kids, "Now, what do you say?" "Well, thank you." So we try to motivate that, to encourage them that, remember, nobody owes you anything. So it's like, say thank you because somebody was nice to you. And so, like I said, we try to do that to our kids. In biblical times, when you read the Old Testament, there were so many ways that people showed God how grateful they were. People would bring sacrifices. People, there was in the Bible, in the Old Testament, through the first five books of the Bible, you hear about this thing called the thank offering. People would bring offerings to God, just like if you were a farmer, you would bring produce of your land. You were a shepherd, you would bring a golden calf or a sheep, or you know, just to God. You would bring usually the best because you wanted to show God, thank you because you provided for me. I have this harvest today, I'm going to give you the best, a portion, because I'm grateful that the locusts did not devour my produce and you know, that I can eat and provide for my family. So here the Lord, this is for you. Thank you. So there were thanksgiving offerings and sacrifices. People sometimes, they wrote songs to thank God for His greatness, for His deeds. Now, God's deeds and God's loving kindness always motivated people to be grateful. And like Marty was talking about, I mean, when you get to know God, it's almost like, what? The only thing you can say is like, thank you, Lord. I mean, you're still blessing me with things that I don't even deserve. Thank you. There's so many songs in the Bible written by people. In fact, we have an entire book of the Bible that is all about songs. And that book is named Psalm. The book of Psalm, I mean, the word Psalm means song of praise. And David and Moses and so many other people, musical people in those days, they wrote so many words just to express their emotion, to express like how they were feeling at that time, and to thank God in the midst of it all. We have so many, 150, at least in that particular book, but there were some other people like Solomon also who wrote Proverbs and other songs dedicated to God, and just how they were feeling at that time, and they got inspired to write something to God. And as you read it, you're going to always find He provided one time. His love is everlasting. Something that God did and causes me to thank Him. Because without Him, I wouldn't be here today. Without Him, I'm not who I am. So King David wrote most of the Psalms that we read in the Bible. And today we're going to be looking at one of those Psalms. Psalm 100. And if you got your Bibles, the NIV has a title. Says, Psalm of Thanksgiving. And this is not the only one. There were so many others. I know a lot of times people enjoy to read the Psalms. And you know, we use Psalm 23 at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be want. You know, but again, that's just man-made, like to use that at the funeral. I mean, because sometimes we want to comfort, and one of the last verses of that psalm is, "And yet, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me." And so it's like, try to comfort people. Psalm 22 started, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Marty read. And who said those words? Jesus. There's so many things. But then Psalm 100 is about thanksgiving. And I love how David starts right here. And so you got your Bibles with right there. We're going to read Psalm 100. He says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. If you have a different translation, it might say, make a joyful noise, all the earth, to the Lord, to Yahweh. Worship or serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Right from the get-go, David says, make a joyful noise, all the earth. Why? Because He's our Lord. This is how amazing, you know, this God is. And say, all the earth, shout for joy, all the earth. I know sometimes people use that psalm as an excuse when they don't know how to sing. They say, well, it just says to make a joyful noise. And it's like, I heard people say, like, well, you know, I don't know how to sing, but I just want to shout for joy. I guess it's okay. David says, make a joyful noise, all the earth. And you remember, there's another one that says, even the trees in the field will clap their hands. You know, trees don't have hands, but it's almost like the trees are going to be praising Jesus, praising Yahweh. Everything about the earth will praise the Lord. So from the beginning, David said, calling everybody to worship. It's a call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness or with joy. Come before Him with joyful songs. It's a motivation for us to come and worship God. Serve is another word there for worship. And then he says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God is our creator. He is our shepherd. And that alone should be a motivation for us to come before Him with a joyful noise. Because when you get to know who He is, you created me. If you created me, therefore I have a purpose in life. I'm not here just by accident. You created me. You fastened me and knit me together in my mother's womb. And I'm here today because you have a plan for me, even though I might not know. That's the reason for me alone to give you all the honor and glory, because you are my creator. And David goes on to say that you are our shepherd. The whole idea in the Bible, the whole Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Like, we are the sheep of your pasture. And Jesus even said that in John 8, that He is the good shepherd, He says. I lay down my life for my sheep. David, remember, David told Saul before he went and faced the giants that, yeah, I'm a shepherd, but if a lion or a bear came and attacked one of my sheep, I will go after it and deliver that sheep. This is the kind of shepherd. David knew exactly what he meant when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, because He will take care of me. He will provide. He will protect me. And that's a reason for me to make a joyful noise to the Lord, because He is my God. He is my shepherd. So some of you who take notes, you can just make a note right there for Psalm 23. That will echo what he's saying right here. It is He who made us, and we are His. We belong to Him. I mean, you belong to a God that He breathed out stars. And He knows each one of them by name. Scientists don't even know how many stars are there. But this guy knows each one. I mean, we call them stars, but he probably said Rosie, Jimmer, this. He knows it all. But they all have a name. That's what Chris Tomlin said. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. And then he says, man, you're an amazing God. And that's a reason alone for me to say, thank you, Lord. I come and praise you because you breathe them out. You created the whole universe out of nothing. That's why I always say, when I have a problem, if this God that I worship can create a beautiful universe out of a mess, whatever I go through is nothing for Him. Because He can just change it anytime He wants. That's how powerful this God that we worship. And David said, make a joyful noise, all the earth, to the Lord. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before Him with a song. We do that very well. I mean, we sing even in the bathroom when you're taking a shower. I mean, something motivates you to praise the Lord. You turn on the radio and there's songs. And it's like, I can only imagine, and something's like you're right there in the worship mode. You're making a joyful noise to the Lord, even whether you know how to sing or not. But the Lord really cares about the heart. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When I was reading that, I could not stop but think about David when he was coming from the country of the Philistines, bringing the ark. He brought the ark back, and they were dancing. They were going crazy. That was a huge worship service. And just like he said, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Why are you thankful? Why are you so crazy? Because you realize I'm bringing the presence of God back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And remember, there's a song like Dance Like David Dance. You might not want to do that, but he went crazy dancing to the Lord. His wife even didn't like the way he was dancing. But then he said to his wife, I didn't dance for you. I did it for the Lord. And he's like, because he realized, I'm entering the city with joyful noise because God allowed us to go back and bring the Ark of the Covenant back to where it belongs, to Jerusalem. And I'm just going crazy for the Lord today. Enter His courts with praises, he says. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. How many times? I mean, sometimes we only wait for Sunday to do that. And that's sad. We just praise God on Sunday. And we forget about Monday through Saturday. Praise Him when you're driving. You know, praise Him everywhere. Shout for joy. I mean, you don't have to come to church to praise God and worship Him. Because worship doesn't just happen on Sunday. It has to happen every day of your life. Even as you're doing laundry, you still can worship God. Because you say, Lord, thank you. Because, you know, a lot of people in the world don't even have laundry. They don't have a washing machine. They have to go to a river and just scrub on the stones in there. And that's how they do laundry. Thank you that at least I have this thing. And so it changes your perception, your perspective about how grateful we are. I know some of you are already posting I don't know how many days of being grateful on Facebook. And it's nice to read what people post that I'm grateful because, you know, my family, some of the friends that He brought into my life, I'm grateful for life and clothing. We got food and we have dirty dishes in the sink. It's because we ate. You know, and thank you because you are the ones providing for us. And so it changes everything about you that you don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to thank God. It's like this ball player one time said, you know, I like turkey, but I don't need to wait for Thanksgiving to eat turkey. I eat turkey anytime I want, he said. And I said, that's true. But again, it's around Thanksgiving that they tend to sell turkey in America. You know, and so it's like, so that everybody will buy on that time. But he said, I want to do anytime. So the same way we should say we can praise God any moment. Doesn't have to be when you come to church. But your life reflects this worship attitude. Grateful for everything that the Lord has done for you. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. I mean, are you entering the church building with thanksgiving when you come to praise the Lord? The moment you enter, it's like, Lord, I just came to praise Your name. Because like the psalm writer said, this is the day You have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what I'm going through right now. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Why? Why should we shout for joy and worship with gladness? Why should we come before Him with joyful songs? Why should you and I know? I mean, that's another part in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. In other words, acknowledge that He is the Lord. It is He who made us. Why should we come before the Lord as His sheep? Why should we enter His gates with thanksgiving and songs in our lips, in our hearts? Why should we do that? Then verse 5 gives us the key. Why should you do it? David says, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why should you be grateful and thankful to God? Because He is good. Now, God's goodness does not depend on my opinion or yours. He is good whether you think He is or not. Because the goodness of God is one of His qualities. In other words, God cannot be bad. There's some things God cannot do. Being bad and sinful, that's one of them. His nature is that He's a good God. His goodness. And if we understand goodness and being good today, it's because of God. He put a little bit of that in our DNA, so we understand what to be good means. So, David, I mean, I just think about David is the one saying, for He is good. Do you realize what David went through in life? At one time he became fugitive because this king wanted to kill him. And so he lost battles fighting. He had to go into a cave with 400, 600 men following him because he was that type of leader. But he was not in a, he did not go to a palace. He was just as a fugitive. He lost, he fasted for a son that he wanted, and the Lord did not give him the son. And yet he said, the Lord is good. I mean, that just doesn't make sense in our society. The man that's telling us the Lord is good, he went through a lot. He murdered people, committed adultery, all those things. And when he sinned, he would come back to the Lord and say, forgive me, create in me a clean heart. Because all I want to do in this life is, I don't want to get away from your presence. David wasn't perfect. All the things that he went through in life, for him to say, the Lord is good. He experienced the goodness of God in his life. He got angry at God when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant and Uzzah touched the Ark because he wasn't going to fall from the cart, and God killed him. And David was like, well, how am I going to bring? He just really got mad at God and he said, how am I going to bring the Ark to Jerusalem? And it's like, I mean, angry. And for him to later on say, the Lord enter his gates with thanksgiving, for he is good. He understood what the goodness of God is all about. That good, his goodness does not depend on what we go through or whether we believe he's good or not. He's always good. And it took David all that time in his own life to realize, wow, I'm the king now. I got to enter his courts with praises because the Lord is good. You know who else experienced God's goodness in his life? Joseph. The ladies, I think, went through a study about Joseph. Joseph got hated, was hated by his brothers. They sold him into a caravan of Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt, where he had to learn a new language, and you know, it's just over there, this poor Hebrew boy. And chapter 39 says that the Lord was with Joseph. There's a phrase that appears to me, it's like, really? But if the Lord is with Joseph, why isn't he doing well? Apparently, I mean, he got accused by this wife, by this lady, and he got thrown in jail for 2 years for a crime he did not commit. And, you know, all those things that he went through in life. And at the end of the life, when his brothers come back and they realize, wow, Joseph is the second person most powerful in the whole kingdom of Egypt. The brothers are like, you know, if he decides to avenge what he did to him, we're doomed. So before old Jacob dies, he says, hey, Joseph, you know, you got to forgive us, you know. And Joseph, I mean, after he grown up, he said these words to his brother, am I in the place of God? You intended it for evil? You in turn intended to harm me, but God used your evil for good. He understood the goodness of God. Now, even though, yes, he went through all those trials and he got thrown into a cistern that did not drown because he did not have water and the brothers hated him, but God was preparing Joseph to that point to save people's life. And finally, he understood the goodness of God when he was the second in command of all the empire of Egypt. When he says, what you intended for bad? Yeah, it was bad. You intended it to harm me. God used that mess you had, that mess you created, God used that for something beautiful to save people's lives. So, no, yeah, you're forgiven. Because, you know, like sometimes you might be here today because something bad happened and it brought you to this church. If I'm in the Christian church, it was because we got kicked out of a Methodist church a long time ago. And you know, I don't feel regret because I realize God used that kicking out so that we can be here today to move us. So sometimes we don't get that picture. Joseph got it at the end of it. At the end, he got it. It's like, yeah, you go back, you backtrack, and you see all those nasty moments that I lived and I didn't understand what God was doing. But now look where he brought me today. The Lord is good. He's like, come before him with thanksgiving because he is good. And you and I have story of the goodness of God, how he's been good to you. Even when at times you didn't have much to eat, and he, one way or another, he provided. And you say, thank you, Lord, you are good. And you are good all the time. The Lord cannot be, he cannot be bad. I mean, he's always good. And those people understood what the goodness of God was all about. Genesis 50:20, that's when Joseph said, you intended it for evil, but God used it for good, to save people's lives. He understood the goodness of God. David said, come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Why? And praise His name. Because His love endures forever. The whole idea that God's love is everlasting. It has no end. It's never ending. You hear that phrase all through the Bible. His love endures forever. We sing about that. His love endures forever. In other words, His love, this is the song, your love never fails. He never gives up. He never runs out on me. That's what it means. Even when at times I might not feel like loving you because I'm doing my own thing out there like the prodigal son, but your love never fails. If I come back, you're still going to take me back. That's the kind of God that you are, and I don't understand. It's like, what kind of love is this? I always tell people, we cannot love like God does. Otherwise, people will never get divorced. If you love like God, it doesn't matter what he or she did, you're still taken back. I mean, this is never-ending love. I think the exiles understood the love of God. Ezra, Nehemiah, they're coming back. They were in captivity 70 years, and finally, after 70 years, God's going to restore them. He's going to bring them back to Jerusalem. That's the context where Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plan to prosper you and restore you, to give you a hope and a future. Yes, you've been enslaved, but I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. And they were getting ready. They're going to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall of the city, to rebuild the temple, before they got into captivity, the temple that Solomon built got destroyed. So the exiles now are going to come back and rebuild it. And they're so joyous. They're so happy that finally we're going back home. And in Ezra 3, verse 10, Ezra 3, 10 and 11, this is what it says. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple, this is the second temple, after they're going to come back from exile to rebuild it. When they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their place to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love endures forever. Now, mind you, these are the people that went over there because they disobeyed. God sent them to captivity, and they said, the Lord is good. You see how it is that sometimes people go through in life, oh, God doesn't care about me. He's not good. 70 years in captivity, and finally, at the end, they're going back, and they realize now God provided for them, the king of Persia, gave him the ability to go back. He gave him freedom and provided, you know, wood, cypress, cedar, so that they can go and build the house of God. And they say, they were praising the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with great shout. Isn't that what David said? Shout for joy, all the earth. All the people shouted with great shout, and they praised the Lord, Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. When God acted, that motivated people to shout, to go crazy for the Lord, to praise His name, to thank Him for His goodness. He is good. In 2 Chronicles 7:3, this is when Solomon, it's way before the exile, Solomon built the first temple. It was the most beautiful temple ever built. Magnificent. He dedicated it to God, and in that prayer, Solomon, in 2 Chronicles 7:3, it says when all the Israelites saw the fire coming, because God came down, when the people dedicated the temple, God came down through fire, like He did it through Moses, to tell the people, I'm pleased with what you guys are doing. And He said, anybody who comes to His temple and pray here, I will hear their prayer. So it says right here in 2 Chronicles 7:3, when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. You can do, I don't know how many times that phrase appears in the Bible, but I guarantee you got to be more than 100 times. Because there's a psalm all about He is good. I mean, it's almost like a progressive prayer. He is good. His love endures forever. He is good. His love endures forever. Because this is the truth. Why should you and I be grateful to God and thankful? Because His love never runs out on us. Even when we run and do our own thing, He's still loving us and waiting for us to come back. His love never fails. He never gives up. He never runs out on you. That's what the writer says. His love is everlasting. David always acknowledged the love of God. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. David knew exactly God's love. Even when he was messing around, when he didn't get many things, he never doubted God's love. Sometimes we tend to doubt His love for us. And it's the man that says, go crazy for the Lord. We shout for joy all the earth because His love endures forever. Enter His gates with praises because His love endures forever. In some of you who take notes, this is interesting. I was just preparing the sermon and I came across that. I never knew this until I was doing the sermon. Psalm 106, 107, and 118 begins with the same phrase. And maybe there's another one over there. You do a research, but I just encountered those three. They all begin with, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. You can check it out sometimes. 106, 107, and 118. They all start with the same phrase. Now, they go about into other things, but the beginning of each of those psalms is, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, 136 is amazing because it's all about, that's another one. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. His love endures forever. Sometimes we get sick and tired of repeating a song in worship. You might not want to read 136 because they repeat that all the time. All through the 24 verses, so at least they repeat it 26 times, His love endures forever. I mean, when you read that, give thanks to the Lord for His good. His love, to Him who alone does great, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. So it's like the whole Psalm 136 is about God's love enduring forever. The whole thing. And it's that responsive prayer kind of thing. So David knew exactly God's love. He knew His goodness. He knew that God's love never quit on him. Why should you and I be grateful to God? Why should you and I come enter His gates, the gates of a church, whatever, with thankfulness, with thanksgiving in our hearts? Because His faithfulness also endures forever. His faithfulness, He says right there, is evident in every generation. God's faithfulness is everlasting. Forever, He is faithful. And you see, His faithfulness does not depend on what we think of Him. He is faithful. That's who He is. Even when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful because God cannot disown Himself. That's who He is. Joshua understood a lot about God's faithfulness because he was Moses' attendant. And Moses, God placed Joshua in charge to bring the Israelites into Canaan, the land of the promise. And at the end of chapter 24, Joshua is reviewing the covenant and he says, we are here today because the Lord has been faithful. We were hungry in the wilderness, but the Lord provided. He's always been faithful to us. If we're here today, it's because He brought us. He fought our battles. People that were more powerful than we are, we beat Him because the Lord is being faithful to us. And He's trying to tell the Israelites, don't forget the Lord when you go enjoy the promised land. We're here today because His faithfulness. He promised that to Abraham that He would bring us to the land, and He did. The Lord, and David said in the Psalms, why should you be grateful? Because He is faithful from one generation to the other. He's always going to be faithful. Nehemiah understood the faithfulness of God as well. I mean, David, look at Psalm 108, verse 4. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Third day, your love of Lord reaches to the heavens. What do you think he got that from? Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. And I will lift my voice to do what? To worship you, Lord. That's the motivation that we have because of His faithfulness. Psalm 117, verse 2. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 119, 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and the earth endures. Paul even knew about the faithfulness of God. In 2 Timothy 2:13, he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. See, faithfulness is an attribute, a quality of who God is. He's always going to be faithful, even when you and I might not be faithful to him. Staten Island Christian Church celebrated 45 years of existence, and even through those 45 years, you remember we were recalling God's faithfulness through the years, because you guys have gone through a lot. And the reason that you're still at church today is because God's being faithful to you. And he will continue. Whether tomorrow you decide to be unfaithful to the Lord, he will continue to be faithful. And we celebrated 45 years of being a Christian church, and we always recall he's been faithful. In those 45 years with 7 different ministers, God always being faithful. And he promises to continue being faithful to all of us, because his faithfulness goes through all generations, endures forever. You see, the scriptures gives us ample evidence for us to be grateful to God. You yourself can relate to some of those Bible characters that I brought up about today. He's been good, he's been faithful, he will continue to be such. He is good. His love and faithfulness endures forever. They won't run out on you. Like Marty reminded us to you around this time, I mean, it's obvious for people to kind of like at the Thanksgiving table to say, well, what are we thankful for? Spend some time throughout this week thanking God for his great love, for his mercy, for his faithfulness. You realize in your own life, what are you grateful for? David just told us why he was grateful. What are you grateful for today in terms of like what God has done in your own life? We all have stories that we can say, you know, pinpoint time, places, events in our own life in which God's love is being evident, his faithfulness being evident, his provision has always been there, and we can say, shout for joy all the earth, enter his gates with thanksgiving, with a song in your mind, because the Lord is good, his love is everlasting, and so is his faithfulness. And that's a reason, a motivation for all of us to praise and give thanks to God.